Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Friday. Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9:30 to participate in McDonald's. Excludes tax.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen took a little heat for this video in Paris where he leaves his girlfriend Haley Steinfeld behind.
See ya, girl.
You notice that Josh has a jacket tied around his waist. He cleared things up with this post on X. My pants ripped at dinner. Didn't want cheeks out. I love Paris.
That's hilarious. That's so good. My boy Blue. My boy Blue, yeah, I mean, hey, Josh.
Blew out his pants.
Yeah, your ass boy, and your legs are too pants. Big for that, that Paris fashion pant. You don't fit. That big country white boy ass does not fit in that designer pant, okay? That's what he needs to learn.
We've all been there at some point in our lives when the stitching that holds that key seam together decides to spontaneously go. And you got to do what you got to do.
Tough spot.
When that seam decides to pop, you got to do what you got to do. I've been there, and I've done that.
Look how quickly, though, people love to jump on, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing. I saw it as soon as it kind of came out yesterday. And it's just amazing how quickly the comments underneath it are like, what a jerk, what a jerk. Why is he doing that? What a jerk. Like, I mean, Josh Allen is like one of the most politest, nicest guys in the world, right? Like, you know, when I saw the video, I was like, man, that's weird. Like, he walked out like that, right? I right away was like, hey, that's weird. What is that? And then I did realize he had something around his waist. I did think that was weird as well, but good he cleared it up because I'm sure somebody made him aware that social media was roasting him for being ungentlemanly in Paris.
Yeah, what a shock. Social media making broad proclamations and conclusions with only part, if not none, of the facts whatsoever. Yeah. What a shock.
Yeah, shocker.
That's how it would go.
Right.
Okay, not a shock in Jacksonville. Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen. Not the Josh Allen whose pants ripped, but the Josh Allen who's been busting his ass for 5 years now with the Jaguars. He has been a great player. And we posted something about this. There was some frustration from his camp that Trent Baalke, the GM of the team, taking time to talk to reporters about Josh Allen, and they're going to do everything they can. He's going to be around. They don't take any time to talk to Josh Allen. It's like the teams, and this is what's frustrating. Josh Allen and the other Josh Allen were taken in the exact same spot 2 years apart.
Right.
2018 was Josh Allen, seventh overall to the Bills. 2019 was Josh Allen, seventh overall to the Jaguars. The whole idea of the rookie wage scale, in theory, is we want to make sure that the players who stink, who get taken at the top of the draft, don't make a bunch of money, get sucked out of the system.
Right.
That's fine. But what about the guys who are good? What about them? You make them wait 5 years, and then you tag him? You tie up a guy who plays defensive line, who's in a lot of contact, you're going to force him to wait 6 years? And then what are you going to do, 7 years? That's what's wrong with this picture. He 100%. Never got what he would have gotten pre-2011,
right?
And they've denied it to him even though he's earned it.
Right. No. And then, like you said, it's your six, it's your, oh, well, it's your, you know, it's your seven. You're not in your prime anymore. So we can't pay you the same. You're not in your prime. Well, you know, no shit, Sherlock. You screwed over my prime with all these bullshit-ass rules you got out there. London and Liverpool and everybody. I'll rein it in a little, all right?
Standing apology.
But see, this is what you get me going with when I start defending the players a little bit. But this is another one of those, I think, again, of, you know, this whole franchise thing. Duh, no-brainer, right? We know. I mean, Jacksonville had problems pressuring the quarterback last year. Right, they have a first round or a first pick of the draft in Trayvon Walker. He's been good, right? He's been a good player, but he hasn't been able to establish himself as a premier pass rusher. Josh Allen has done that, let alone playmaker and doing a lot of other stuff as well. So I think it's another one of those where it's like, wait, you know, we don't have a lot of guys in big moments that can be just difference makers or make a play in a big moment and do that. We've seen Josh Allen do that over the last few years. He's a damn good football player. And I would think the way he is as a person, leader, everything, he would embody what Doug Peterson wants in that locker room. So, not shocked to see Josh Allen get the franchise tag there.
Great player, great kid.
Yeah.
Kid. You know you're I know. Calling guys in the mid-20s.
That's what we are. Right.
But my kid's 27, so it kind of fits. But the reality is he gets it, and he's great. And they've denied him the money he should have made on the way in. He's earned that contract. And I know they used it last year on Evan Engram, the franchise tag, and then signed him to a multi-year deal. He wasn't a guy they drafted. See, I think one of the things,
definitely,
one of the basic realities of functional NFL team management is when you get a guy through the draft who is great, you take care of him, because that sends a powerful message to everyone else on the team. I've said that before, like with an undrafted guy,
right,
where he checks all the boxes, puts in all the work, becomes the guy you want him to be. He's the shining example of what happens when you come here, you work hard, you're part of the team, you do what you're supposed to do, you're getting your financial reward here. You don't have to go somewhere else,
right,
to get it. And we're not going to play these games with you where, oh, sorry, we'd like to give you a long-term deal, but, you know, we have this franchise tag and we're going to use it. And then we'll talk a long-term deal after we've prevented you from going to any other team that would maybe pay you more than we would or should, because you've been a great player here for the last 5 years. We've managed to not pay you for 5 years. We're going to try to keep not paying you for as long as we can. And that is an indictment of how the team is run. What a shock. The team that let $22 million be stolen from it while it was asleep at the switch by somebody in non-football operations who was using the money to gamble, and they turn around and ask FanDuel for the money back, for crying out loud. What a shock that that team wouldn't be managed in a way that would recognize the talents and compensate fairly the player who deserves to be paid. And I guess last week will be the last time we had Doug Peterson on the program for as long as he's coached the Jaguars. But it's the truth.
Well, yeah.
They need to take care of
these
guy.
These are not all Doug. These are, you know, that's not an indictment. What you said is not, you know, on Doug. He's not in charge of all that type of stuff right there, right?
I know, but he's from the Jaguars.
I got you. I know.
They won't be so helpful anymore.
He might like it. He might like that we just put, you pointed out those type of things. Those might be the type of things he's like, damn, I've been wanting to say that to the owner and everybody around here. Good thing somebody said it, right? I mean,
hey, here's, you know, the other side of it, too. One of the things I picked up in Indy, and I don't, and again, this is just like, yeah, I mean, there's a balance to be struck, and I'm usually reluctant to just do a dump of everything that I heard, because you can hear all sorts of shit there. It doesn't make it true. And one of the things, and so I couch it saying that, but one of the things I did catch wind of is maybe the Jaguars are going to be in on Danielle Hunter. Okay, the great Vikings pass rusher. Well, if there's any truth to that whatsoever, and I'm not saying there is, I'm just saying it's one of the things I caught wind of. If that is true, how do you reconcile squatting on Josh Allen and never giving him a big contract and giving Danielle Hunter whatever it's going to take to win his services in free agency? What message does that send to your team if you do that?
I hear you. I hear you. The message is not great, right? Here's the conversation that I think is legit here, as maybe compared to some of the other guys we've talked about before, right? Josh Allen, really damn good player. You know, better than I think the public realizes. But at the same time, here's where the conversation I think gets dicey. Is he elite, right? Is he a superstar pass rusher? He had an elite year, right? As far as 17.5 sacks, second in the NFL behind TJ Watt, right? Does a lot of things good, like we talked about, great human, all of those. Boom, surely. But You know, if you're Jacksonville, are you ready to sit there and go, wait, I'm willing to start paying him $24, $25 million a year, long-term deal like a Myles Garrett or, you know, what Montez Sweat got with the Chicago Bears, right? I think that's where, you know, again, that's the tough one with this one, right? And hopefully they can find a common ground here. I don't know what Josh Allen's camp is asking for. All right, so that's where it is tough. It's a little bit
haven't
of like
talked.
That's crazy.
As of 5 weeks ago, that's they
crazy.
Hadn't talked.
Yeah, right. That's crazy if that's the case. But you know, I'm sure that's the part they're trying to deal with. Is wait. It was a phenomenal year last year. The other years were good, right? But not double digit sack. Like whoa, one of the best edge pass rushers in football. Good. And I think that's where they're probably trying to find the balance and hoping to buy some time in this conversation here.
They might have talked since then. I don't know what's happened in recent weeks. But there was frustration, specifically when Trent Baalke had a press conference, started talking about their plans for Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And the Josh Allen camp, if not specifically Josh Allen, was like, what the hell?
Yeah, right. We haven't talked. Yeah.
If you have the time to talk about me, you have the time to talk to me. And that's a pretty fair statement. And a very justifiable reaction by any employee who's in a contract negotiation. If you have time to talk about me, you have time to talk to me. So how about talking to me? And let's see if we can work this out. And if they did have talks, obviously they weren't going to get a deal done. And they still have until July 15. Deadline-driven business, we know that. They have until July 15 to get it done. And until then, unless and until any of these players accept the franchise tender, they are no longer employed by the team. There are no more employees of the team than you and I are. They don't have to show up for the offseason program. They're not on the payroll. They're not on the team until they accept it. And they have every right to not accept it. It's part of the leverage they have. Up to and including sitting out the whole year like Le'Veon Bell did in 2018. Not that that was advisable, but it's part of the power that you have as a player once you've been franchise tagged. That's the one thing about it. And I wrote about this in Playmakers. Kirk Cousins is a shining example of it. The idea that you can play this game to your advantage, that they can tag you twice. By the third time, they ain't going to do it again. You become a free agent. The problem is, Chris, for all these positions that have been tagged this year, you're taking a real risk, especially the closer you are to the ball. You're taking a real risk of going year to year because one injury and it blows it all up.
Hey, yeah, you don't have to tell me. I mean, you know, I'm the guy that turned down $10 million guaranteed because I said, wait, I'm going to be worth a lot more than that after this year. We just went to the playoffs. I said no to $10 million, right? In the bank, in my pocket, right? Week four, boom, crushed. Chris Jenkins' dad tries to kill me. Life was never the same. It's risky, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's where these players are frustrated. All the reasons we talked about. Damn good football player. They just got to figure out what's both sides, figure out what's fair for each other there, right? Because he doesn't deserve to be in the Nick Bosa TJ Watt conversation as far as money making that way. It's somewhere in that next class of guys that they got to tinker with this, the details of this contract to try to figure it out.
And hopefully they will. And again, July 15 is the deadline. One more to talk about this segment. The Panthers, as expected, apply the franchise tag to Brian Burns. Now his name comes up every year at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Right.
The Panthers have consistently resisted trading Brian Burns. Consistently. There was a report during the 2022 season, the Rams offered two first-round picks, F them picks, and the Panthers said, no, that's fine, but you ain't getting two first-round picks now. I don't want to go too far on a limb here because you never know what a team's going to do, but I find it hard to believe that there'd be any team even thinking about signing him to an offer sheet and giving up two first-round picks.
No.
You could trade for him for less than that, which is probably what will happen.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the problem with this whole thing, this whole setup. It's kind of unrealistic, right? Like, oh, yeah, your franchise, oh, other teams can still sign you. They're just going to have to pay you, like, a crazy contract that's going to get you to move from the other team, and they're going to have to give up, you know, draft picks. Like, that doesn't make sense. I mean, we know that. Well, only, like, superstar Hall of Fame-type players would get that type of package when it's all said and done. But either way, right, he's special. You know, elite pass rushers on the edge, a little like we talked with the Josh Allen, they don't grow on trees, right? I think it's a little bit of the same conversation here, right? We drafted him. We like him. He's damn good, right? What's he asking for? We can't let him go to the open market, right? We're not going to be able to replace this type of talent here, but at the same time, I'm sure they're a little bit like, wait, what how much does he want? Right? I could, again, like the Josh Allen conversation is very similar. Really good player, right? We know that. Certainly is a really damn good pass rusher, but is it superstar pass rusher? Is it the guys that we have talked about, you know, consistently? Is it Max Crosby? Is it Bosa? Is it TJ Watt? Is it that? And I think that's where, you know, there's probably a misstep in the conversation or whatever I'm trying to say there as far as agreeing on what the value of the player is. But at the same time, he's not the type of player you just let go and walk out the building. And that's where you franchise tag it and hope you can deal with it or, you know, continue to evaluate it a little bit longer to go, wait, do we feel good, you know, that he's continuing to go on an upward trajectory to where we're going to give him this big money? Or do we feel like maybe he's plateaued and maybe after this year we go, okay, right, you know, he's real good but just not great and we're not going to pay him the money he wants and we'll let him go. And that's what they're going to have to figure out.
In an alternate universe, they did the trade when the Rams were willing to give up two first-round picks, and when they negotiate the deal to move from 9-1 last year, they retain their own first-round pick and have the first overall selection in this year's draft.
Yeah.
So, well done, Carolina Panthers, under the stewardship of the drink-throwing owner, David Tepper. And I promise I won't mention that every single day for the rest
Damn,
of my life.
Damn, are you sure? I think you're three out of the last four shows so far, I think.
Only because I recognize, just like with Wordle, there's a chance I'll forget to do it. Okay, let's take a break. We're going to look at some of the other moves from yesterday's franchise tag deadline. Grab bag style. That's next here on PFT Live.
Like I said, just the ultimate competitor. The one thing I do respect about Pitt is that he's going to show up and you know what you're getting every Sunday. And you're going to get a guy that's going to go make plays. And you're going to get the same guy on the practice field that you're going to get in the meeting rooms that you're going to get on game day on Sunday. And to have that type of guy, you know, on our football team is huge, huge going forward.
Shane Steichen, Colts head coach, commenting on the decision to apply the franchise tag to Michael Pittman Jr., not a shock. They had basically shown their cards when Chris Ballard, the GM of the team, spoke to the media last week. They're going to tag him if they don't do a long-term deal. They didn't do a long-term deal, so they apply the tag, preserving their ability to continue to negotiate a long-term contract until July 15. So, Chris, franchise tag, grab bag. Fill in the blank with Pittman and quarterback Anthony Richardson both healthy for the Colts, I expect their offense to what in 2024?
Be a handful. That's what I expect, right? You know, I'm a believer in Anthony Richardson. You know, we knew the talent. You know, the thing we knew now and we know now is he's willing to work and do the little things that it takes to be, you know, a great quarterback, right? Those are the only things I questioned coming out in the draft process because, you know, I didn't know. I didn't get a chance, right? But he's everything, you know, as advertised in the meeting rooms, all that. And I think that's the thing too, right? That's why they got to keep Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, you got to keep him to give insurance to your biggest asset in your football team, which is the guy that you've made your franchise quarterback, right? You know, you're not going to do the old, like, Tennessee Titan thing, like, hey, we'll give away a proven commodity and we'll take a shot in the dark on, you know, some guy we think might be good. Oh, Treylon Burks? Oh, he ain't A.J. Brown, right? Chris Ballard wasn't going to make that decision or wrong decision, I should say. He's going to go, wait, no, I got to support my guy here. It's just the fourth pick of the draft, let alone this is the only guy that is proven, you know, year after year commodity for what we want to do at the wide receiver position. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr. does everything well. He might not be three rockets up his butt, 80-yard touchdowns, but he's still scary enough, and he's the kind of guy you want, you know, leading your offense and leading your wide receiver room.
He had a career-high 109 catches for 1,152 yards last season. He's had a different starting quarterback each of his four seasons in Indianapolis.
Right.
I remember when we met with him at the Combine in 2020, the son of former NFL running back Michael Pittman.
My buddy. His dad was my buddy.
He's gotten it done so well, he doesn't get to go get paid. He has to be a franchise tag player, at least for now. We'll see if the Colts turn into a long-term deal, but it feels like they want to. It feels like they recognize, and they got two more years minimum of Anthony Richardson not having a massive quarterback contract. He's got to earn it first. Last year we saw some great flashes, but he had multiple injuries, concussion, and then the shoulder that ended his season. But they're in that period now where they're not paying big money to a quarterback. They can afford to put some significant cap dollars elsewhere, and this is one of the areas where they should put it.
Yeah, I agreed. That's right. You know, again, it's an offense that I think we all look at it and go, there's a lot of good. You know, we know Jonathan Taylor's a difference maker, right? But it's a running back, and he was injured last year. You know, I think Michael Pittman's the only proven commodity difference maker they got at the wide receiver position, let alone, right, he's a guy that we know, like you talked about earlier, they drafted, they like it, they want it to work, they want to run the football. Michael Pittman Jr.'s tough as hell. He blocks like he is a tight end. I mean, he's that kind of blocker. And then, of course, off the play action, he is fearless just like his dad over the middle. I mean, he does not care. Contact is not a worrying aspect for Michael Pittman Jr., and that's where he's different than a lot of receivers in football, too.
Well, and again, Chris Ballard, one of the GMs who clearly gets it and understands what he has in Michael Pittman Jr., and the Colts trying to compete in a division that is going to see the Texans continue to get better and better. The Jaguars are hanging around. The Titans, we don't know what they're going to do with a new regime there. Colts need to try to keep up, and with Michael Pittman Jr., you're more likely to do so. The Bears, Jalen Johnson franchise tag. Yeah. Buy or sell, Jalen Johnson should be the highest paid corner in the entire National Football League. Buy or sell.
I can buy that. I can buy it. I do. I'm a big Jalen Johnson fan. You know me, Mike, right? You know, one, I'm all about guys that can make plays, make difference in a football game. Jalen Johnson's one of the scariest corners in football when it comes to ball skills, interceptions, doing stuff like that. And then the other thing you know about me, Mike, is I love the guy that just goes, oh wait, I got him, right? Forget your zone or how you coached it up, or I got seven guys blitzing and three guys dropping over here and that makes me look good as a corner. This dude can just go, you versus me, let's do it. The Bears play a ton of man-to-man. They put him on an island, right? That is my kind of guy. And they didn't really have a pass rush, right, his whole career. They just got a pass rush like the second half of the year last year. That's the first time. Jalen Johnson is the type of talent that he was first team all pro for me and definitely is worthy of being the highest paid corner in football.
He told Keyshawn Johnson in January, I feel like there's no reason why I can't be the highest paid corner in the league. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I think can be done and should be done.
Yeah.
Again, that gets back to APY, average per year. That's what guys want. And here's a reason why the best available talent now poised to get a second contract should be the highest paid at their positions. The cap went up 13.6%. Everything else should go up along with it. And if the Bears, as we believe they will do, based upon everything that we saw and heard last week, take Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback with the first overall pick, and move on from Justin Fields, that means 3 years of slotted rookie wage scale money for Williams, which means they won't have had to have given Justin Fields a gigantic contract, money that's available elsewhere, specifically for Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It'll be interesting to see what they do there, right? I will. I mean, he's like just hitting the prime of his career. So he's got a lot of years in front of him of top quality football, right? You're a defense that Eberflus, he wants to play man and do all that. Well, there's added value to that with that kind of player. And then I also just get into, damn, in that division, you better have some corners like that, and you better be happy dealing with Justin Jefferson, Addison, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the dudes up in Green Bay all look like they're going to be scary, right? So they're not going to be any easy weekends playing football in the NFC North as far as corners concerned. That's where Jalen Johnson has great value to the Bears as well.
It's not going to be any easy weekends in the NFC North, period.
No, exactly
for
right.
A while.
Exactly.
Between those teams that they have
right
there and the quarterbacks that they're developing. Okay, last one. Patriots applied the transition tag. As we said earlier, it gives them the right to match an offer sheet, but no compensation if Kyle Duggar goes elsewhere. Scale of 1 to 10, how important is Duggar to whatever this is now in New England? Rebuild, refuel, whatever. whatever it is, how important is he to it?
I gotta, you know, it's up there. I'm gonna give it a 9. I'll give it a 9. You know, one, okay, you hear me say this, like, there's not a lot of blue chip, like, special superstar-ish type players on the Patriots defense. They got a lot of good, right? But I think he's pretty special. And then it's like, hey, Jerod Mayo is a defensive head coach. This is the ultimate chess piece of linebacker safety, right? Can get in the box and be good in the run game, can cover tight ends, you know, can play the back end, let alone, right? I would think it's a guy that, hey, the way he's being kept here and has this transition tag and all that, that Jerod Mayo looks at him to go as an ally in the locker room, a leader that way, right? So, yeah, I think it's very important to have a guy like this as far as this next process in New England.
And that's what's weird here. It's not like we've cleaned house.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a point when the Patriots were disintegrating in 2023 where I thought, we've all been led to believe that Jerod Mayo is the next head coach, but does it get so bad that they just have to hit the reset button and start over? They're not really starting over.
No.
It's kind of like a step back and a reassessment. So there are some guys, the few really good guys they have now that Bill Belichick drafted and developed over the past several years, they need to find a way to keep him, but not so much that they're willing to do the franchise tag. Just the transition tag at $13.8 million. They could have done the franchise at 17-1. So I guess they're confident that no one else is going to make him a big offer, and they're confident they'll match it if someone does. It does give him the ability to negotiate with anyone, and anyone can do it. Sometimes, though, even when there's no compensation, teams are reluctant to do it because they think, beyond the loose collusion we mentioned too earlier, like, you leave our guys alone, we'll leave your guys alone, just the idea, we're going to put in this time, we're going to put in this effort, we're going to get this guy to sign, and then they're just going to match. Why do their negotiation for them? We don't even get a fruit basket out of it. We've done free negotiation for the New England Patriots. Why do we want to do that?
Yeah,
that has been a factor for
too,
some teams
no doubt.
In the past.
It's a good point by you, 100%. You're exactly right. Right. And yeah, they found, you know, what they think is the sweet spot, right? He's a guy that, yeah, certainly not going to be able to command, like, top of the market value, but they know he's a good football player, right? He might lack splash, sexy type of plays, right, that maybe some of the other top safeties in football, you know, maybe not quite the same persona or leader that, like, a Derwin James or a Minka Fitzpatrick. I've heard Duggar's kind of a more quiet type of guy, right? But, you know, damn good player and versatile in that, and I think that's where he'll be important to the Patriots.
All right, we are going to take a break. When we return, one player who was tagged last year but not tagged again this year, Giants running back Saquon Barkley, free to go wherever he would like to go. We'll talk about him next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
That came out, it opens up all options are on the table. I'm not saying we're going to franchise him or not franchise him, but everything's on the table, and we'll have conversations with his representatives this week and see if we can get something done. We've been working on this since November of 22.
Yeah, sure.
So, right. You know, again, hopefully we can come to a landing spot. I think the world of Saquon, he's a really good player. He's meant a lot to the organization, and you know, we'll see if we can get something done.
Giants GM Joe Schoen with us last week at the Scouting Combine. I like that jacket he had on. We need, you know, I've,
all right,
like,
I
have lost all shame to the extent I ever had any.
Yeah.
When it comes to asking for stuff. I mean, because they have so much of it. And if you wear it on the show, it justifies it. Like, you know, we're representing the various colors of the various teams. I got the Eagles thing.
Yep.
I got the Vikings.
Respect for the Eagles.
I got the Vikings.
As a Giants fan, I can't do it.
I did tell you on the show that Kevin O'Connell,
yeah,
Vikings vest,
yes, right,
with Vikings written,
right,
on it in gray. I got one of those coming supposedly. So yeah,
I'd love to get you some, like, Giants gear. I'd love to do that. You know, as a team
like
that's
blue.
Owned the Vikings throughout your lifetime, I'd love for you to wear our colors more. I mean, you know, ownership there.
But it's not a matter of being cheap. You just can't buy it. Like, the best stuff that we see, you can't just, like, pick up your phone and buy it, which is kind of, it doesn't make sense. That's the stuff that they should be trying to sell, is the stuff that we see and say, damn, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why those guys wear it, because they have it and nobody else does.
I think
All
that's
right.
exactly why.
They've had Saquon Barkley for 6 years and nobody else has, but now, as of next Monday at noon Eastern, he will be available to anyone who wants him. This isn't a surprise, even though Joe Schoen didn't rule out the franchise tag last week because of the way the salary cap moved and the base tag for the running back, not much different than the 120% figure would have been for Saquon Barkley. By rule, if you're tagged once, you get a 20% bump the next year. But it's the running back position. How much are you going to invest? How much are you going to put in that position, especially for a guy who's got 6 years now in the NFL? And I think they're comfortable with the possibility that somebody else will come in and make him a big offer. I think this is kind of like the Kirk Cousins mindset in Minnesota. We'll let him go to the market and see what's out there. And once he does, we're confident he'll take our best offer.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think a little bit where we've talked about some of the other guys that didn't get franchised, right, like Baker Mayfield or Chris Jones, I think they probably feel a little bit like, hey, we got the inside track. Saquon has been one that's been very vocal about he loves New York and would like to stay here in the New York area and play for the Giants. So I'm sure they feel like, hey, we got a little advantage in that conversation, right? But it's dicey. I mean, it is dicey. Again, I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley, right? I know it's like hasn't been maybe live up to the billing of the top, you know, second pick of the draft and all of that. But as I would say about, you know, quarterback situation there, Saquon Barkley's been behind the worst offensive line in football pretty much his whole career. Like, again, it's not even close, right? Some of the years of his career, it wasn't like the Giants were, ooh, one of the worst. It was the worst, and it was not even close. Like, they were in a level of themselves of, we can't block anybody for anything. Pass block, run block, anything. This guy right here, as we're showing the highlights, is still one of the most special explosive athletes in football. He's an anywhere, anytime guy, right? As you hear me say from time to time, meaning he can score from anywhere at any time on the football field. And they're special to that. That's where I look at teams to where, hey, you're looking for a running back, right? I mean, you might feel you're a running back away or something. I mean, that's where you won't throw $10 million a year out to Saquon Barkley for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 year contract, and you can get out after 2 years or something like that. I mean, again, if I'm Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, you know, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, right, there's some teams out there I look at it that way where, okay, like a lot of my roster's set, and now I'm just missing like cream of the crop type of players. Damn, I'm thinking about Saquon Barkley. I can tell you that much because I think he's still damn special.
Hey, how about the Cowboys?
Them too.
Jerry Jones,
sure.
Is all in. But then again,
they got holes.
All in only means whatever Jerry Jones decides it means when it's time to explain why he went all in. That's an all in move, to go all in for a running back who's still got some tread on the tires, who can be special, not just. Because that's what we get lulled into this sense of, and it's true, there's plenty of guys out there that if you block for them and you trust them to hold on to the football, you trust them in pass protection, they can get the job done. There aren't many who can get the job done to the level that Saquon Barkley does. And what a coup that would be for the Cowboys to take him away from the Giants, or the Eagles to take him away from the Giants. That's a net gain. That's a huge net gain, because you're hurting your rival and you're helping yourself.
Well,
back to the same Chargers,
right,
mindset with Chris Jones.
Right.
Get one of these guys away from a team that you're competing with. Not that the Giants were any trouble last year, but if Barkley's healthy and Daniel Jones is healthy and they play like they did 2 years ago, they are a factor.
Yeah, exactly that. And you know, the other thing that I would say is, like, you know, Saquon, yeah, he was injured, right? Because they aren't good at up front and they've been behind in a lot of games, he doesn't necessarily have, like, a ton of wear and tear on his tires. I think he's – and the way he keeps himself in shape and trains and he's obsessive like that, I think he's kind of a young, right, you know, sixth-year player in the NFL as far as a running back's concerned. I don't look at it and I don't look at last year and go, oh, it's about to fall off. Right, I don't look at that at all. I look at it and go, oh, wait, right, damn, this guy still can turn the corner. This guy still breaks ankles. He's certainly got, you know, a lot of tread on his tire there. So as a Giant fan, I'm hoping Saquon Barkley's back and that they can find, you know, the right price tag to make it work for both sides. But I think he's undervalued, in my opinion.
There he is running against the Jets, and I saw a comment yesterday that he really wants to stay in New York.
Right.
It occurred to me, wasn't his dad like a huge Jets
huge
fan?
Huge
Jets
fan.
Not that they need him.
Right.
But they got Breece Hall. You do a two-headed monster of Breece Hall and Saquon Barkley, and you got Aaron Rodgers in the mix if he's healthy, and Garrett Wilson, and ooh, what the hell?
Yeah, they got some stuff there.
That could be interesting.
They got to worry about the O-line first, though. That's priority number one. So that's where they gotta make sure all their eggs are in that basket, especially with Aaron Rodgers at his age, right?
That's right. And who knows how much longer he'll be with the Jets. Who knows how much longer Daniel Jones will be with the Giants. Let's hear from Joe Shane from last week talking about the quarterback who got a big contract last year when Saquon Barkley got the franchise tag.
Yeah, again, we're in year three of the build, so we have needs. There's multiple needs, and I know the hot topic is quarterback and Saquon and Xavier McKinney and some of those guys.
Yeah.
But again, the reality is he's coming off three injuries in 2 years, and everybody, that's facts. So it's something we got to consider, and you know, we're going to address it through free agency. And if there's an opportunity in the draft, we're going to look at every position, not only quarterback. We're going to look across the board because we do have needs across the roster. So Daniel's trending in the right direction right now. He started throwing 2 weeks ago, so he's doing it stationary. He's not moving yet. There's some hope that he may be able to do something in the spring, 7-on-7. And then, you know, the hope is that he'll be ready for camp.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Again, every patient is different in terms of how they recover from ACLs or injuries in general. So, knock on wood, we haven't had any setbacks, and he's trending in the right direction.
That all comes at a time when there is kind of a sense that the Giants wish they hadn't given him the contract they gave him last year. Rich Eisen said that one of the things he heard at the Combine was that the two words that come up when you talk about Daniel Jones, buyer's remorse, that the Giants do regret it. And if they had to do it all over again, they wouldn't. Now, it was a two-year deal, and it fell right into that category of what we talked about at the top of the show, where the initial reports painted a picture that the real details didn't justify. They were tied up for 2 years. This is it. Doesn't stop them from using a first-round pick, sixth overall, on a quarterback who gets put on the bench for a year, or maybe not a full year if Daniel Jones is injured or just falls off in any way. But that's why so many teams have them in that quarterback conversation, because they can get out of this after this year, and they might very well start looking for their next Phil Sims. What pick was Phil?
Phil was the number seven pick of the 1979 draft. Did you just lower your chair? You look like you just got shorter on air.
No, did it sink? I don't know.
It
sinks
like it did.
On me.
Okay, it looked like it did.
All that steak I ate in Indianapolis. I don't know. Maybe I need a new chair. It's been here for 10 years.
Hey,
it sinks on me.
Big Phil was the seventh pick of the 1979 draft. Had no idea the Giants were going to take him. None. Came out of nowhere. Totally. And this is documented. I mean, you know, thought he was going to the 49ers. Bill Walsh had worked him out two different times. He thought the 49ers point blank told him, right, you know, we're going to draft you. And I think they might have been picking in the teens or early 20s or whatever there. You know, instead, dad got picked by the Giants and the 49ers. Then 2 rounds later in the 3rd round got Joe Montana, and, you know, the rest is history.
Amazing. You know, he was the second quarterback taken in that draft. Do you know who the first quarterback taken in the 1979 draft was?
Damn. man, I know this, but I don't. It's been a long time since I've thought about what team. Can you give me a team here?
Cincinnati Bengals, as you like to say.
Damn, that didn't help me at all. I mean, I don't think. I don't know. Who is it?
Jack Thompson.
Oh, I would not have come
Jack
up with
Thompson.
That. Okay.
All quarterback.
Right.
Washington State. Was he not the throwing Samoan? Was that Jack Thompson?
I don't think so. I don't think that was, but maybe I'm wrong about that. We'll have to look that up here.
I may have to look that up.
Right.
Somebody had that nickname.
Oh, he is. I think you're right.
He was the throwing Samoan. How about that? Dan Hampton was taken one pick after Jack Thompson.
Right.
Then came Jerry Butler. Then came Barry Krause. Who? Then came Phil Sims, followed by a future teammate. I didn't know they were drafted back-to-back.
Otis Anderson?
Otis Anderson was taken right after Phil?
Yeah, Cardinals, right.
How about that?
Yep, I did, In the middle of the 1986 season, they traded for him. And, of course, that came in handy as the 80s continued, and he got into 89 and 90 where he became a bell cow running back, freak of nature running back, right? Definitely, like one of the all-time greats that we forget about at times in Otis Anderson.
Hampton, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Kellen Winslow, 13th overall Hall of Famer, and then all the way down to pick number 82. The guy the 49ers did take that year, Joe Montana.
Yeah, pretty damn good. But, yeah, hey, listen, back to the Daniel Jones thing there, Mike. I mean, hey, it was a tough spot for them last year. I know last year wasn't a great year by Daniel Jones, you know, to start the year. But let's be serious, too. What was great about the Giants? Again, this is where, like, the conversation going to the who are the weapons on the Giants? Is the O-line going to be any better? Guess what? It wasn't any good when he was playing. Like, that's where I just don't understand some of the talk around him at times. I don't, let alone, as we discussed during the time, and this is, again, context matters, their first seven games were as tough as anybody in football. They had one of the hardest schedules there was, right? He was awesome the year before. They went to the playoffs. I mean, he carried the team in a lot of ways, in a lot of games, and carried them when they weren't doing that well to kind of buy them time to get their feet underneath them, right? So I don't know if he's a superstar, but I understand him giving them the contract that they did, right? It's not egregiously bad, the contract, right? And, right, I mean, as we talked about with Saquon Barkley, I mean, we watched football last year. Their protection stunk. It wasn't like we were watching film or watching games and going, man, there's plays everywhere to be had by the Giants and Daniel Jones is missing them. No. So let's see as they continue to build the support system there. And this will be a big year, though, for the future of him. I know that. And I know that they're going to bring in, and they should, a big-time backup slash he could be maybe a starter type of quarterback, like a Ryan Tannehill. They got to protect themselves from that. If Joe Shane is so, you know, hey, two of the last 3 years, Daniel Jones has been hurt. Well, I want to raise my hand and go, well, everybody would be hurt playing quarterback for the Giants. I mean, none of your quarterbacks this year could stay healthy. Let's remember that. Tyrod Taylor hurt. Tommy DeVito got the shit beat out of him. He had a missed time. I mean, come on, right? So everybody's going to be hurt playing for the New York Giants when you block the way they do. So let's see where it goes from here. But it's a big year for Daniel Jones. There's no doubt about that.
The issues with protection for the Giants were no more clear last year than they were on a Monday night when the Seattle Seahawks were all over.
Like, should have been sacked 20-something times. We went through it. He got sacked 9 times, and it was because of him that he wasn't sacked 20-something times because he made people miss. He broke tackles. It was, to your point, embarrassing. And that's not on Daniel Jones. That's on the Giants, and they got to fix that.
And I mentioned the Seahawks because they made some moves yesterday related to the franchise tag. We'll discuss those next here on PFT Live. Something else that felt wrong on a human level during the segment that I missed because I was looking something
What's
up.
What's that?
Sources
what?
Close to me tell me that at one point you uttered the words in this order.
Simsisms. He's going to be thirsty, hungry. Whatever, you know, acronym you want to throw in there.
They know he's going to be thirsty, hungry, whatever, you know, acronym you want to throw in there. Yeah, thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Miss Lippy.
Simsisms.
That might have been the dumbest one I've ever done, actually.
That is very well done.
Damn.
That was put together
wow.
in less than an hour of real time.
Damn.
Well done, EJ, or whoever else.
Or Wyatt. I got to screw you, EJ, Wyatt.
EJ, I don't know who's there.
How dare it, both of them.
We don't have a camera into the
What a bunch of jerks.
Both of them. Thank you. Well done, EJ and Wyatt. Well done.
Damn, don't you guys got anything else to do during the show? Gosh, damn it. God, that was a bad one. That might have been an all-time stupid moment right there. I mean, yeah.
And adjective, I missed it.
Not
and
acronym.
I missed it.
Yeah.
And I missed it. Matt Casey texted it, and it's like, I can't believe I missed that. All right. This is one that we saw coming. Chris, yeah. You've been talking about it. And look, I got enough enemies that I have earned through hard work and repeated effort over the years. I don't need one in Jamal Adams because I have a feeling he's fairly relentless. And as we saw last year, he fights dirty.
Yeah.
But Jamal Adams cut by the Seahawks at a time when we're praising the Seahawks for the great deal they did in unloading Russell Wilson. The other side of that coin is they kind of screwed the pooch, if I can say that. And I think I can.
Yeah,
they kind of screwed the pooch. When I kind of said it twice, when they traded for Jamal Adams. So, two first-round picks, when they knew or should have known, and I doubt that they knew, but, man, it wouldn't have taken much. And so much of the NFL is made up by the quality of the intelligence that you gather
right.
about players. It didn't take many phone calls to realize you're getting a guy that, yeah, he's a great player, but, man, I know Pete – you know, everybody
yeah,
thinks I'm going
think
to be the one to
right.
get through to this guy. Right. And nobody's getting through to him. I'm sorry. Nobody's getting through to him. And maybe he'll be humbled by this. I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully. Hopefully this changes him a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it was a failed experiment in a lot of ways. Jamal Adams, incredible talent, right? But it never all seemed to kind of match up in Seattle. And then it's gotten to the point of all the injuries he's had to deal with, right? He's not the same player right now that he was 3-4 years ago. And I think a lot of that is just because he can't stay on the field and, you know, get in a rhythm and get back in the flow of a football game, which there is something to that, even for the great football players. So, yeah, not shocked by this. We know that. Seattle pass defense has not been good the last few years, right? You know, Jamal Adams between injuries and, you know, underperforming to a degree. Quandre Diggs did not have a good year last year either. So safety play was an issue in Seattle. They got a new head coach there who's going to want his guys and a new culture and not going to want to hear about, oh, Pete Carroll used to do this, Pete Carroll used to do that, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, totally understand them making this switch. There's no doubt about that.
Also released safety Quandre Diggs, tight end Will Dissly, and to put a bow on Jamal Adams' time with the Seahawks, 67 regular season games. He missed 33 of
ooh,
them
yeah.
because of the way he plays. Look, it's one of the reasons you don't make that investment. And then they did the contract a year or two later, the big contract, and they're dealing with that dead money now. Not to the same degree the Broncos are, but still. The other side of the coin for the Seahawks. Great deal trading for Russell Wilson. Bad deal. Or trading away Russell Wilson, excuse me, bad deal trading for Jamal Adams. We're going to take a break. When we return, something I saw last night on NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt about an item of memorabilia from The Sopranos is inspiring a draft we're going to have today. We're going to have a little fun next here on PFT Live. So last night on NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, I caught wind of the fact that the booth at which Tony Soprano was sitting when he got shot as the series faded to black was auctioned for $82,600, which inspires today's draft. Let's talk about and let's begin to select items of memorabilia that you would at least consider plunking down some of the Chris Sims riches for. I'll give you the first pick.
All
I
right.
have a feeling I usually come with six. I feel like I didn't need to come with six today.
No, you
I got my three. You and definitely, I, feel like
I,
mean,
I didn't prepare for this at all, right? Okay, I'm just going to let you know. I mean, I sat at home all day yesterday watching film, doing all that, getting ready for the draft. I did not prepare for this. My mind goes right to sports stuff, right? That's the first thing I think of, right? And to me, one of the most monumental moments or things you could get, I think, would be a Tom Brady Super Bowl 51 jersey. That was the first thing that came to my head, right? That was the Super Bowl. He won number 5. That was the year in which he got the Deflategate suspension. And, of course, it was the 28-3 comeback. Right? I think about that and go, damn, like, you know, I got some good sports memorabilia. That'd be one that, you know, I certainly would want and would hang up in my office or something like that.
You got more money than I realized. Maybe you did take that $10 million from the Buccaneers and just never told anybody. Holy crap.
Well, I don't have that.
That would not be cheap.
No, right. Crap.
But it's what you would consider. Oh. I mean, like, reasonably consider.
Oh, reasonably consider. Damn, I don't know. Take me out of the draft. Go to the next. I'm not going to reasonably consider anything.
I have in the past gone down the rabbit hole of looking for Super Bowl rings that people were selling. One of these days, I will act on an impulse, a long, slow, simmering impulse. And at the right place, at the right time, I am going to buy a Super Bowl ring. I don't know what team. I don't know what year. I don't know what person. But I'm going to get a Super Bowl ring one of these days. If you can't earn it, go out and buy it.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you that. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, when you see that.
Or steal it.
Well, people have done that.
Putin and steal it from Robert Kraft.
That is a good one. A lifelong dream would be for me to have a Super Bowl ring. That's for sure. The only thing I got even close, though, is my dad's 2 rings, which he never even wears. You can't get him to wear them. I'm all the time. Like, he'd get the CBS pregame show for the Super Bowl. I'm like, can you put your freaking Super Bowl ring on? Like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, damn, if there's a day to wear it, it's that day. He doesn't do it, so I don't know. All right, my next one, I mean, again, I can't afford any of the things that I'm thinking of here, right? But the first thing I thought about would be, like, the last basketball Michael Jordan shot, right? The Game 6 against the Jazz in Utah, right? I mean, that was the next one that came to my mind. I mean, Michael Jordan is the greatest, most dominant sports entity I've ever seen in my life, and I would pay big money to have that basketball and hopefully get him to sign it one day.
All right, we're going to take a break and continue this because we're almost out of time, so we'll jam a few in when we return right after this. All right, memorabilia on which we would consider splurging. I'm up now.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of time left. But there are 2 items from the notorious Hail Mary play that I would consider purchasing, neither of which I assume is available because Drew Pearson told me years ago he threw the ball out of the stadium into the parking lot.
Damn.
Somebody's out in the parking lot and a football comes bouncing around.
Right.
So I don't even know if anyone even realizes
they
have this.
There it goes.
I'd also take the whiskey bottle that was thrown at the official.
Oh,
if that thing is.
I thought you were going to say I'd like to take the flag that wasn't thrown for the offensive pass interference.
Yeah,
I'd take that too. That'd be a good one. I might have to try to work on that one for you. I want my dad's Super Bowl 21 jersey. I mean, the damn guy won the MVP, had an epic performance, and somebody stole the jersey.
I want the shoe. I want the Jeff Hostetler shoe.
I'll work on it for you.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.